Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 260. I'm Josias @ForTheVillain on Twitter, @Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Feels like it's been a while. More wrenches in the system, but let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 160 is really interesting. We entitled hashtag El Nino. @MemTheBeanRan, @ForTheVillain are joined with our boy, @_Sadie, where we play brief catch-up on life. Then Josias gets to interview an old friend, former WEC and Strike Force lightweight champion and current UFC fighter, @Gilbert Melendez. All right, that was very interesting. He was in town, so I finally got to interview my boy. So he got tossed into the UFC a few years back, and it was cool. It was like for our high school, not even reunion. It was a high school Hall of Fame induction type of deal, and a bunch of football players, a bunch of Olympians, Olympic athletes, baseball players, legit soccer players, baseball players, every sport they were honoring, which. For Santa Ana High School to have that lineage is really cool, and for a bunch of old school wrestlers to get together just to see everyone, and again, like legit Hall of Famers in sports in general, football players, NFL players, like sports that I didn't know any of our athletes, I guess, went on to become something more or bigger or better. It was really cool. So again, back to that day, got to interview our boy Gilbert Melendez, Tito, and he gave a great interview with us. Very interesting, though, because that was about 2 years ago, probably about 2.5 years by now. But 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago, and Gilbert had another fight this past weekend, Saturday, the 6th of July, in Vegas, actually, T-Mobile Center. And he fought this past weekend. Unfortunately, my boy did not win. The scorecard was 30-27. Decision, he lost. So Gilbert's had a bad streak in the UFC. Hopefully he can bounce back from this, but just interesting how it happened to go and coincide with what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Okay, anyways, we hit football talk, NFL week 4 thoughts and week 5 predictions. October starts our spooky story talk. The month of October, we're not there yet. I normally like to toss out spooky stories and reoccurring dreams, reoccurring nightmares, scary stories that I've heard, things that I've seen. I don't want to say ghost spirits, entities for sure. Scary stories that have been passed down through our family, and just, you know, creepy shit. I like to read gnarly articles and twisted, scary articles, legit. So the month of October is normally fun for me. This one was, October starts our spooky story talk with couple flees $1.3 million dream home after threats from the Watcher. Then hit gnarly and creepy stories along with our own personal encounters. There you go. Then go into comic talk. What are you watching? Fast and the Furious director to helm Hot Wheels movie. Still haven't heard anything about that yet. The Purge to commence as TV series. I believe they announced that, or that was actually at San Diego Comic Con last year. Robert Kirkman confirms The Walking Dead comic and TV series will end differently, and we'll go into that in news later on. Spider-Man Homecoming wraps production, then Nail. Comic reviews, Teen Titans Rebirth number 1, Nova number 11. Nova I was loving, I believe Adam was loving that one as well. 7 to Eternity number 1, and December number 15. All right, guys, I have a short show, but I think I have a long review. I've had a lot of time to let this sit, and I was trying to figure out the best way to attack this. And although there is a right way to attack it, I'm just going to toss in some bullet points for you guys. We have San Diego Comic Con 2019 coming up next week. So today is the 7th of July. We'll say it's the 7th of July. We have San Diego Comic Con. Just putting that together. That show in itself is a beast. Anyone that has never been there before, it's a regular comic convention, but on fucking steroids. Just because it's so mainstream pop culture now, it's more acceptable. A lot of big networks want to toss out their properties, and more movies. So it's definitely way more mainstream. So let's just talk about that. Just my experience and what I'm setting up for you guys, because it's an interesting story. And that story is the process alone in itself to schedule these things, these interviews, is a pain in the ass. Like, straight up. I have to be on everyone's schedule at any given moment. And it kind of sucks. I know it might sound terrible if you guys are listening to it like, oh, this guy. But no, I'm literally walking around the whole convention floor. So me being a huge fan of this event that I've attended since I've been a kid, and to be able to get behind the scenes and interview people now, it's not the first world problems that might be ringing in your guys' head. It's more the, I'm literally walking away from a panel or something I really want to see so I can go interview someone on the side. That's kind of a pain in the ass. Literally running from one end of the convention center to the other end of the convention center and or across the street to the gas lamp district or even to the Hilton Bay Hotel or wherever the interview might be going on at is a pain in the ass. I know the layout of the land, that's not the kicker. It's being on everyone else's time schedule. It is interesting. And speaking of that, just the process in itself, again, blows. So poor me. No, not necessarily, but definitely kind of poor me too. Poor you guys more than anything. I never want to be a comic host, a comic book host, a pop culture host where I do things or take interviews just to have the name recognition. Like The Walking Dead, I always get offered to interview the cast of The Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead. I don't watch the show. So I never want to feel like a hypocrite taking these interviews because it feels like I'm being a hypocrite and I'm depriving you guys of better content. Like, yeah, you guys will enjoy the content if it's something you guys enjoy. But for me, I feel like I would be a hypocrite and that would be cheating you guys. And I never want to cheat you guys. I never want to do that to you guys. And honestly, I don't want to disrespect the person I'm talking to. Oh, so you're that one guy from that one thing on TV. Like, it just sounds like a bullshit response, and I never want to do that. It's unfair. It's honestly disrespectful to them. It's disrespectful to the comic syndicate. It's disrespectful to myself, and it's disrespectful to you guys. I'm not just going to kiss ass with a big-name celebrity just so I can kiss their ass. I don't kiss ass. That's not me at all. So, yeah, just not wanting to take a big interview just for the name value. So, yeah, that's about it, dude. The lead up into San Diego Comic-Con 2019 with the guests, the panels, the hall, H, the exclusives, the show, the merchandise, the movies, the Marvel, DC, IDW, Image Comics announcements, everything. The interview opportunities. And me, again, with just scheduling those. I want to, and I am working on my itinerary. Like, I have my dates going on and it's getting filled up and I'm like, okay, what do I want to do? What do I enjoy doing? Like, this is not going to be robbing you guys. And, the things I have lined up are actually pretty fucking cool. It's a little bit of everything. And I hope you guys will appreciate those interviews when I do get those up and posted for you guys. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I went solo last year. This year I'm ready to run and gun it, but at least I'm going to have the boys from the 2OC podcast, Alan and Anton. Find them, subscribe to those guys. They're awesome, down to earth, great, fun, and funny, and they put on a great show. We're going to do an Airbnb, so I'm going to go out there Wednesday and do preview night and figure out my day. And I think I have an interview scheduled that day as well. I have a bunch of parties planned too. I don't know if I'm going to make it because San Diego one day is an insane thing to go through one day. It's an assault on your senses. And if I'm going to do a party, I kind of want to go back to my hotel or their Airbnb, take a shower, and then go party. But that means the next day I still have to wake up extra early to get back into the convention. And if you guys have been there, you know what a pain in the ass it is. And again, if I'm sounding like first world problems, Josiah's, no, it's a different type of beast. It really is a different type of beast. Even if you don't have tickets to enter San Diego Comic-Con proper, there's so much to do at the Gaslamp District. It is so enthralled, like, it's so immersive now just across the street where the hordes of people and everyone just there for the love of pop culture is a fucking sick and killer experience. Like, even just doing that, if you don't have tickets, it's worth just chilling in the Gaslamp District and doing everything that's offered and available there. I'm going to be working the convention, so... not working it, but, I mean, it's a con, so I'm going to con it up. I mean, that's the best way to put it. And again, I'm pretty happy with the interviews I have lined up so far, and the confirmations I've gotten so far are dope, and it's like, all right, cool, well, I know this guy already. And people are hitting me up like, oh, you interviewed Jolo already from Cobra Kai? Well, we represent these guys too, so if you guys want to interview. So it's working out in a weird way. Yeah, with this, the guy who hates schedules and being on anyone's time, the schedule itinerary that I've written out, it looks proper, and it's like, okay, I can do this, and I know what to expect of myself, and the recording process, and the time structure, and everything. So, it's a pain in the ass, but it's a fun pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass, I'm able to do it, you know, like, the Comic Syndicate exists, and we're able to do this, I'm able to do it because of it. And, not even bashing, like, even the random small things, I think are gonna be cool. We'll see what the content looks like, but that's literally next week. A week and a half out, a week and 2 days out for me by the time you guys hear this. I believe that's all I have for that. Yeah, just San Diego Comic-Con, the process. Not wanting to sound like a hypocrite ever and not being fake to the person I'm interviewing. Just for the name's sake, not to disrespect them, not to disrespect myself, and never to disrespect you guys, the listeners, the audience, my friends, because I know a bunch of you guys. I don't know all of you guys. I give a shit about you guys. I can never do that to you guys. So hit me up on the side and like, okay, well, what happened? And I can explain more, but that's pretty much just going in depth. Last thing, bullet point I'm going to hit is my second job. Okay, I work a lot. I work three jobs. So the office job foreclosure company, the work at a theater, second job, and then a podcast host, writer, editor, you know, is the third job, which technically it's the third job. I get paid by going to San Diego Comic Con for free, which is awesome. Second job, I got hooked up with some killer fucking posters. I gave a teaser. If you guys follow me on Instagram at comic_syndicate, I posted what I'm going to be giving away. I haven't mentioned the contest yet, but I have about two, maybe three posters to give away specifically to the Comic Syndicate listeners, our friends, hopefully, whoever's out there. I'm going to go over the specifics, not now. I'm going to drop it soon. I have to set this one up, and then I have to set up next week's San Diego Comic Con. In San Diego, I'm going to record out there, and I'm not going to drop specifics then because I'm going to have several contests, and one is definitely going to be a tag a friend and follow us type of deal. We've done those plenty of times before. That's going to be one of them, and I'm going to get creative. I like getting creative and see what I can pull off out of my sleeves. I'm a fucking magician. So, all right, that's a contest giveaway, and if you guys want to see it, it's the poster of Iron Man holding the glove of I Love You 3000 with Tony Stark, or just an Iron Man gauntlet with the Infinity Stones. All right, guys, that's all I got for venting and what's going to happen next week and what to expect probably the next few weeks is I'm going to break it up in episodes like I normally do. That sounds odd, but 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 episodes. So I might spread out the whole month of July, even June, July, August. Depends on how many interviews I land and score, and episode 261.2. 61.3, just mix it up, or I'm just going to make them, yeah, I don't know, if I don't have time, I'll plug in the interviews as I come across them. All right, guys, that's all I got for now. Give me a few, and I will be back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. Let's hit it because my reviews might go a little bit long, and I'm always short on time. First one's going to be, I spoke about it earlier, Robert Kirkman announced that Walking Dead 193 comic book will be the last issue. So, he's no longer in charge of Walking Dead proper, the TV show, or any of those. And AMC has specifically said, you know what, yeah, whatever the fuck he's going to do, they had a falling out straight up with the TV show. So, even though he's going to end the comic book run, the show will continue on. More Walking Dead. So, yeah, I saw the first two seasons, season and a half. I was enjoying it. That's when the lack of time hit in my life, so don't watch much TV. Next one's going to be Ghostbusters adds Paul Rudd and gets official title, and it's going to be called Ghostbusters 2020. Next one's kind of interesting, and the next few are going to be interesting. Live-action Final Fantasy 14 series in development from Witcher producer. Sony Pictures Television and Hivemind will unite to create a live-action adaptation of the incredibly popular Final Fantasy 14 massively multiplayer online role-playing game. It was a huge game that I loved the fuck out of. I love RPGs growing up, still love them now. Minus the time, so I don't play a lot of video games, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do know what I like, and that was one of the things. So if they're going to toss out a series, I'm off for that. Speaking of series, this one is bummer news, but this one came out, it was dropped a few weeks ago, I just haven't had time to hit it. I don't believe I hit it last week. Deadly Class TV series is officially dead, says comic creator Rick Remender. He confirmed that the adaptation of his comic book series would not be picked up by another network following the cancellation at Sci-Fi or Sci-Fi. I don't know how they fucking pronounce it. It was a good show. I love Rick Remender as a writer. The fact that it didn't succeed. Oh, sorry, guys. It blows, but you know what? It kind of hit some good notes for me. Next one's going to be really interested in something else I love. Sandman TV series reportedly lands at Netflix. Neil Gaiman's beloved Vertigo Comics series The Sandman has reportedly landed a television adaptation at Netflix. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Netflix has signed what is described as a massive financial deal with Warner Brothers Television to adapt the seminal supernatural graphic novel for their streaming platform. Sources claim The Sandman will be the most expensive TV series DC Entertainment has ever produced. The series is to be written by Alan Heinberg, who did Wonder Woman and some Grey's Anatomy, who also served as a showrunner. Additionally, Gaiman himself will executive produce alongside with David S. Goyer, who was a writer on The Dark Knight, and NBC's Constantine. Netflix's Sandman officially ordered to series episode count was revealed as well. The streaming giant confirmed in a press release that Alan Heinberg, again Wonder Woman, has been brought on to serve as writer, executive producer, and showrunner on The Sandman. Additionally, the release confirms Gaiman will write and executive produce alongside David S. Goyer. Netflix has also revealed that 10 episodes of The Sandman have been ordered. All right, this is great news. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was almost on board to get this going. It's been a project where it's very ambitious because of The Sandman as a character. It has to be expensive because it's so beautiful and so gorgeous. Like, limitless possibilities, and his siblings are the endless. So to pull off destruction, death, delirium, destruction again, a destiny would be dope, and he's Dream. So I hope it does great. I just love that. So give me more. Just give me something good. Report Top Gun Source to San Diego for big Comic-Con presentation. I will be there. If I get the chance to interview fucking Tom Cruise, at least I loved the original, Top Gun movie. So we'll see what I can get. Let's see, we have Flash Warner Brothers runs towards its director, Bumblebee Ryder, for the DC film. The Flash may crawl its way out of limbo with the help of director Andy Muschietti, who was the writer of It Chapter 1, or director, and Bumblebee screenwriter Christina Hodson. So there, that movie has had so many issues already for the longest time. I don't know if I hit this one last week, still on DC movies. Tom King explains his Batman exit, teases secret television project. Tom King is the current writer of Batman, and it's a sick fucking title right now. Batman writer Tom King has explained why he's leaving the series, with an unannounced TV series as one reason. I'm working on a DC movie now, which is New Gods with Ava DuVernay, and a secret TV show thing that hasn't been announced, King told Entertainment Weekly. DC was kind enough to see that doing all that and a twice monthly Batman would be tough. So they divided the Batman book into two monthly books, Batman and Batman Catwoman. Batcat will complete this epic story we've been telling and lead to this game-changing moment I've been hinting at. Batman will... Well, I can't tell you, but it's very cool. Because of the beats that will be handled in Batman, I have more room for my storylines in the Batcat. Which means that the 12 issues can cover all of the story that was part of the original plan. So he's still going to get a chance to tell his story, and he's going to be off of Batman. We just don't know the next writer of Batman for DC Comics. And Scott Snyder was on before Tom King, and back-to-back writers kicking ass. Very curious who's going to be next. All right, Warner Brothers premiering Batman Hush and more at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm not going to spoil anything. I might be able to interview the cast of Batman Hush if you guys have read Batman Hush. It's a great story. Jim Lee's the artist. It's worth checking out. And they're going to make that into an animated movie. So, yeah. Let's see what else we have. Comics News, House of X, and Powers of X, or Powers of 10, House of 10. Trailer welcomes a new era for the X-Men. A new era for the X-Men begins in a trailer for Marvel Comics, House of X, and Powers of 10, or Powers of 10, House of 10. Jonathan Hickman is the writer for that. The last time he was writing for Marvel Comics proper was Secret Wars, and he's the writer of East of West for Image Comics. He does a lot of fucking titles right now. He plays the long game. He's a great writer, so to have him back on, I guess, back at Marvel again, finally, exclusively, is pretty rad, and I trust Jonathan Hickman in anything he writes. All right, guys, this review is going to be extra long, and again, just prepping for San Diego. I'm still going through my itinerary today, tonight. Once I put up this episode, I'm still going to fucking be doing that. So if you guys want to hit me up tonight, tomorrow, go for it. I'm just going to have a smaller window pocket of allotted time to work or get back to you guys. But please retweet, share the podcast, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. My only review I'm going to have is going to be a Marvel Comics title. It's going to be Silver Surfer Black, number 1 of 5. Donny Cates is the writer. Trad Moore is the artist. And he's helping out with the story as well. And Dave Stewart is the inker. This one is about Norn Rad. And I've done a few reviews about Silver Surfer before. He's the Herald of Galactus with cosmic powers. This place takes place after a review I did a few months back, a while back. And it was Guardians of the Galaxy, number 1. If the writer sounds familiar to you guys, if you guys are familiar with the show. I've reviewed Venom a lot. Venom, I love the fuck out of as a character. And the way Donny Cates is writing Venom right now and Ryan Stegman, his art, is just so morbid. Both of those together are so twisted and dark and beautiful and gorgeous and sad. And it has all the fucking feelings and emotions. So anyways, Donny Cates was writing or is writing the current run of Guardians of the Galaxy, so kind of the heroes you guys know if you don't know the mythos of comics. This is going to be interesting. So anyways, it takes place right after that. So people, mainly cosmic and otherworldly powerful characters, got together to meet up after the death of Thanos, and that he was beheaded by his daughter, Gamora. She finally sought the power of the Infinity Gauntlet to build herself, to become all-powerful, and all these characters meet up for the reading of Thanos' last will and testament, where they're all attacked now by Thanos' Black Order. This is still in Guardians of the Galaxy, number one, guys. It's really good. So Ebony Maw, Corvus Glaive, Proxima Midnight, Black Dwarf, Supergiant all attack these cosmic beings in space. But as all these characters, even as powerful as they were ambushed. Some of these characters end up in a worse predicament than others. So the Black Order opened up a black hole, and a handful of our heroes and villains got sucked in and lost in. Silver Surfer was one of them that got cut in this, sucked up in this black hole. So now we see him first page in Silver Surfer Black number one. See him lost in the void and darkness of this black hole now. And we're going through his experiences in it. So he says, "My name is Norrin Rad, orphan son of Zenlaw. Though I have been known by many names, to some, I am a noble light in the great unending darkness, a defender of the hopeless, avenger to those who are lost. I am a friend, an ally, a lover, to some, a savior. I am known by many, universe-wide, as a Silver Surfer, the sentinel of the spaceways, the herald of Galactus Unchained. But alas, I am known by another secret name, a name spoken briefly, whispered or raging on the dying lips of the forgotten. That name is Death." And we just get these beautiful pages now of the remorse Norrin had, and this pain and remorse he carries to this day still, this guilt he's carrying with him of letting so many planets die as he watched on, never lifting a finger to help them out as his creator, Galactus, feasted on and devoured these planets, these worlds, planet after planet. Sorry, guys, I've been coughing tonight. But there is not a day that has gone by since then, that I do not hear them still, that I do not weep for them, for all of them, for all those planets and countless others. For them, I ignite. I explode against the void. I make myself a shining, guiding star for those who feel abandoned in the abyss. For now, for no matter how many long my shadow grows, I will not be devoured by the black. And he's in this void, and it's getting to him, and it's shaking him up, and it's fucking him up. As we now get panels of what happened once they got shot into this void, that Silver Surfer was going to work once they all got sucked in there. A bunch of cosmic beings were in there. And Silver Surfer, once he realizes, like, I gotta get my friends out of here. So he, as soon as he gets sucked in and sees his friends there, he starts going to work, helping out his friends, working to make sure they're able to get out safely, which is just beautiful for me to always see. And as we see this void close and him kind of start to lose himself, like already taking effect on him. The uneasiness and the reality just fucking with him, like some drug-riddled acid trip on steroids is the best way to put it. As he mentions also, like, I don't feel well, and he's almost wanting to succumb to this darkness. He's like, strands of reality explode into fictional debris. I am unmade, but I am not done. So as he fights this, there are moments of this unease again, but he continues, on where he comes across some old friends that are also lost in this void. So everyone he was able to save, Beta Ray Bill, a bunch of his friends, Cosmic Ghost Rider, and he comes across his friends, the original Guardians of the Galaxy that nobody fucking knows, and the Starjammers. This abyss that appears to be dead, or all his friends appear to be dead. So then as it looks like if he's going to continue on, like, shit, there's nothing more I can do for them. Like, they're done. He musters up a little bit of his cosmic power, and he gathers them up and sends them away. Now, do we know back home, out of the void? We don't see this yet. And it's going to be continued on in Guardians of the Galaxy Annual number one, which comes out. Annuals are pretty much any month that has a fifth week, that's when an annual for a comic book will drop. It's just like a small side story, and you got to figure how many months have 5 weeks in a year. Probably like 3 out of 4 tops, probably 3, sometimes 2. Depends on the year. Honestly, that's the best way to put what an annual is. So now, we see him help out his friends, and again, using his energy, this void now starts fucking with him and attacking him and his senses once again. And he's just over-exerting himself in a little bit. And this is why my reviews are always gnarly. So now we see him just exhausted, and these pages are just gorgeous to look at. Again, these acid trip scenes and pages and panels as we see himself. As we see him, and he says he's lost and he's drowning. And the panels even get gnarlier, but yet somehow beautiful still, because it looks very abstract. And the artist is doing a fucking killer job. Trad Moore on this is a different type of art that I've seen in a while, in a long time. If you guys want to pull it up, pull up Silver Surfer Black number one. Trad Moore, TRADDMOORE, Trad Moore. So again, just beautiful. And we see how it's taken, again, this toll on his mind and his body. And Norrin says, slowly I heal, my cosmic awareness spreads. As we see him now beat up, but yet reaching out almost like a plea for help. Like, there's got to be something in this fucking void. Till he finds something else. He finds a star flickering off in the distance. As he now seems to get his head together. To help out. It's like, why is it flickering? I have to go there. And we see him using his energy that is already, he's not sharp, he's not 100%, to create his board. And it's really dope, because it's just, these pages are dope, because it starts off like a small droplet and little by little enlarge and turn it into his board. And now it's finally created. He rushes to this flickering star. But once he arrives to this planet, almost, we can see how jacked up and beat he really is. He's broken down on his board. Once he finally reaches this planet of darkness, he comes across these three giant, I don't know, golems, titans, where he simply asks them now for help. So being in this black hole and now coming across some sort of world or planet of darkness and the void is fucking with him already, where they quickly respond back by attacking him. And one of them has a giant hammer and gets dropped on him. And he's just asking for help. And we see him now, after he gets smashed, is seeing him as he says this out loud. Though I'm weakened, I am far from helpless. Though outnumbered, I am unafraid. As he goes to work once again and dish it out really well, roughing them up. So three giant golems with three different weapons, and him even using his board as a weapon and using his cosmic powers, his cosmic abilities, cosmic awareness, just to put up a good fight. So the numbers and the size of these giants finally become overwhelming for him, and they get the upper hand on him. So now it's just, they start fucking him up and jacking him up, and it's kind of sad to see. They fuck up his board. They break his board in half. And it's greatly written now, as we just see this don't quit in Norrin Rad. This don't quit. This continue on. This don't stop when things are bad mentality from Silver Surfer, from Norrin Rad. As this fight sequence just goes on again. And it's a dope fight sequence. Like the way he's fighting these assholes and trying to fight back. So again, it's just too much for him to keep up with. As now he gets hit, knocked down, and he's getting enveloped now by not just the Titans anymore. Like, yeah, they're fucking him up, they're kicking his ass, but the land itself now is kind of attacking him and enveloping him. And we get some really great inner monologue now. And being in this void has been making him twisted. So yes, he's beat up, he's jacked up, he's tired. And to be in this place now, we get this inner monologue. And this is one of the things that was hinted at that we get. And even in the opening monologue or inner monologue that I went over, we not just see him getting his ass kicked, you know, but enveloped by this land now. And it sucks because he was once irredeemable. Like, he would find planets for Galactus to devour and destroy it. And he still feels that guilt. And early on in the battle, there was a point when he said, I could end this now. Like, I can kill them. I can destroy them. But he didn't want to go that route. So as this battle goes now, where it's at this point now, he says, trapped, the urge to end them rises once again. But no, I am not death. I am a blazing light in the abyss, as we see him slowly and little by little get more enveloped by this tar, by this darkness of the planet, and as he continues on. And though drowning in shadows, overwhelmed and suffocated by dark, I ignite, I shine, I burn, as he uses his last bit of energy to create a tiny star that lights this darkness. And the way he is able to use his cosmic powers to create this star is dope, and it's an interesting take. I'm going to finish up the ending right now, and it's beautiful. Like, this planet, not even the void, he's still in the void, but this planet now, it so happens that these three giants, these three golems, were protecting this giant door. And Silver Surfer even says, like, something's tugging me. And even before that, we see, like, the effects this void has had on Silver Surfer, and we see his hand tarred out and black now. So where it's going to go from there, I'm kind of curious, because the way Donny Cates has been writing Thanos, Thanos Wins was fucking great, and Cosmic Ghost Rider, I'm pretty sure I know where it's going to lead, but this is also, like I said, Donny Cates writes Venom. These golems were protecting this giant gate so nobody would enter, and there's a character that pops out that pulls Silver Surfer in, and it's Null, and he's the god of the symbiotes. So yeah, it was a great story. It's a great title. The way Donny Cates writes, he's one of my favorite writers right now. And this one was just a great fucking story. I love these stories. It's always good. The way Donny Cates writes, I'm hoping to land an interview with him soon. So yeah, lots of things coming. I hope you guys enjoyed the review. It always reminds me of something. And this one just was something I needed to get off my chest. And it's like, I've been sitting on this one for a while. All right, guys, that's all I got for this week. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Share the podcast. Give me about 2 weeks, possibly 3 weeks, and I'm going to drop the full details of the contest giveaway for I Love You 3000 posters. I have about 3 to give away, and just let me survive Comic-Con weekend. Normally, it is just surviving Comic-Con weekend. All right, my dogs are telling me I got to go. Share the podcast more than anything. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.